Today's podcast is sponsored by Atomic Golf. If you need custom ball markers, divot repair tools, and more that are made from high-quality materials like solid copper and brass and look really good, then you should check out our friends at Atomic Golf. If courses like Old Barnwell, Landman, Sweetens Cove, and more are already working with them, then you should too. Visit atomicgolf.club and follow them on Instagram at atomicgolf.
I have learned that making playlists is like a big thing for them. And okay. I'm still, you know, I feel old. I'm still like largely listening to the radio, and what comes on next is what I listen to next. But
yeah,
they have like, yeah, you look at me, you can tell we are a little age gap there.
Yeah. Listen to the radio. I didn't even know they still had radio, but yeah, whatever. Teach their own.
Hello again, and welcome to the Caddy Tales podcast. I am Mark the Caddy, joined by my sidekick and fellow caddy, Nick. And we are super excited to talk to you today, again, about how golf intersects life. They mirror one another, and there's so many lessons that we can glean from both places that make us better in the other place. So, how are you today, Nick?
Good, man. Just coming off that round we played last week, which is a lot of fun, and it was great to get out again.
Yeah.
Kind of get a refresher going in the brain about what it's like being on a golf course again, which...
Yeah. Well, I left that day thinking... Man, this is awesome. February golf. But it was also like a kick in the pants as we had to walk and carry a bag that we best get prepared for the season because, you know, it was a little more tiring than we needed it to be. So, but it was great. And by the way, today you look pretty good. I like your new sweat.
Thank you. Yeah. You too. Yeah.
So for those of you watching on YouTube, you see we're wearing sweatshirts and hats that say Best Ball Golf. If you're just listening on the audio, you can picture that. But we are, our podcast is produced by at Golf Best Ball. You can find them on Twitter, and they are setting up kind of a collective of podcasts, just people who love talking golf. And I'm really proud to be in partnership with them. And Robbie, who we work with, sent us these sweatshirts and this hat and some golf tees and a ball marker. It's just awesome swag. But this sweatshirt is like the most comfortable sweatshirt I've ever put on, and that's not hyperbole.
It is so soft, super soft,
like a baby's bottom but better. But Nick, today we're gonna have a little fun inspired by my daughters, really. So when I'm in the car with them, they kind of are at the age where they take over the music. And I've learned also, you know, they expect me to pay for everything still. They're kind of still in that mooching stage, even the older ones. But the one thing that that I have found out they all got their own subscription for, I think they realized that it wouldn't fly, is for Spotify, they pay for the premium so that they can skip songs. Like, music is such a big part of their life.
So
we spend a lot of time on Spotify, and I have learned that making playlists is like a big thing for them. And I'm still, you know, I feel old. I'm still like largely listening to the radio, and what comes on next is what I listen to next. But they have like, yeah, you look at me, you can tell we are a little age gap there.
Listen to the radio. I didn't even know they still had radio, but whatever. Teach their own.
But making playlists is a huge thing for them. So we'll be in the car, and they're like, what do you want to listen to? And it's like, last week we had like inspirational movie songs. Or I did introduce my youngest daughter to the Monster Ballad, totally underappreciated form of music. But I got to thinking, you know, what playlist would I put together based on the inspiration of the different golfers that we come across, and just kind of fun. And so I started thinking about all the different personality or behavior types that we have out there. And I wrote down literally the first song that came to mind. And I think they fit pretty good. So let's get to it, Nick. See if you can, you know this one. Okay. Little Oldie But a Goodie by Billy Simon. The song, You're So Vain. You're so vain. And that song is inspired by Mr. Egotistical out on the golf course. Have you ever dealt with any egos out there?
Yeah, I've dealt with a couple. Caddied with a couple. One maybe on the other side of the computer screen here, but
absolutely not. But no, I mean, actually, it can be pretty common. You know, some big egos out there. I think, and it maybe a little bit more apparent at times with the younger people because they're more into some of the things, the trappings of golf, you know, their clothes or their bags or whatever. But, you know, what do you describe, how would you describe a loop with somebody with a big ego? What are some things you've experienced out there?
Well, so I had a loop one time where this guy, you know, it's common for players to hit a shot, hand us the club to clean off, obviously, which is fine. That's our job. This guy would not hand me the club. He would drop the club at my feet. And I'm like, just hand me the club. It's a lot easier. I got to bend over 1,000 times today. My back's killing me. I'm carrying 2 bags. I'm exhausted. Yeah. And yeah, he just dropped it. So on 14, finally, he drops his driver on the ground and I just walk off. And then we get to 15's tee box. And he's like, hey, where's my driver? I'm like, it's where you left it on the last hole. And I think after that, he finally got it. So,
I mean, some people would think, like, you know, you can have an ego without being a jerk. But really, I think what we're getting at with this description and the song You Are So Vain is there's just some people who are in their own world out there.
Yeah.
And totally into themselves. It's rare, but they are certainly, there's just a lack of, at times, social awareness or common courtesy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you'll have it. I learned the first time that it happened to me, I was taken aback by it. But like after somebody makes a putt or whatever and they get their ball, a lot of times players, you know, just walk to the next hole with it. Not everybody wants it wiped after every whatever. Sometimes they hand it to you to wipe it. But kind of like the person with your club, they just kind of toss it on the green for me. You know, and you're so, like, I don't know, personally annoyed or offended or whatever. But then I heard some veteran caddies talk about how it happens to them, so I didn't take it personally or whatever. But it just kind of, like, it has a feel of a little bit like they're big-timing you.
A little bit.
You know, trying to feel or magnify the experience of having a caddy and feel like they're elite or whatever, but they're just kind of in their own world. I remember a loop I had, and this is one of the most memorable loops. I've talked about it in my book and on here. A guy who once told me that he needed to shoot 64.
Oh, now, yeah, I remember that. I've
talked a lot about that, but what do you have to think you're going to shoot a 64 on a golf course that hosts, like, major tournaments?
Yeah.
And stuff. But what another thing that sticks out to me was he had a cart bag, like, you carried on the tour. Mm-hmm. And I could picture that. You could tell it was, like, brand new. And unfortunately, it was, like, a day with split tees, and they were on the 10th tee, so it wasn't by the bag drop. And I had finished a morning loop, basically, and got sent right up to this. So there was no opportunity to go and switch this guy's bag out. Oof. And I don't think he would have thrown a fit, because I could picture this guy staring at himself in the mirror with it. He was so, it was like, brand, he bought it for this special event. He was so proud of it. It's one thing carrying one of those bags if you're with, like, a guy who does shoot 64 on the pro tour and he's the only person you're caddying for.
Yeah.
But when you're with a guy who wants to shoot 64 and then shoots in the 90s and you have another player as well, it's not as fun. But I remember too about this person, I think they gave me every credential in their life. Like, they found a way to work it into a conversation, whether it be how much money they made, where they had played sports in college, or this or that or whatever. And I'm like, oh boy. And you know the warning signs of that when somebody's like that. Low tip. But yeah, you're so vain. I don't know that I'll ever forget that loop. Okay, Nick, moving on here. Here's one that I think is kind of fun. By the wonderful Madonna, the song Papa Don't Preach.
Oh,
And
nice.
this time we're not talking about her making up her mind and keeping her baby or whatever, but the guy who usually is the guy. It's actually, female players are actually quite into this too. Especially when they're playing with all females, but Mr. Rules Official, we're going to call him, the guy who's a stickler for the rules, and it stands out more because maybe not everybody in his group is such a stickler. Any experiences with Mr. Rules guy?
I was caddying at one of these these amateur tour events, and they all take the rules pretty seriously, but this guy was a little overboard. I remember we couldn't find a ball on 18, and he sent the guy back to the tee to re-tee. And I think that was like the like it's been under five times since I've been caddying where somebody's actually gone back to the tee to re-tee. It's like so awkward, especially when groups are waiting behind you, and it's not good.
Well, a similar experience, same type of event, and actually on the same loop that I just referenced. The people hit it all over the place or whatever, but one person hit it into a bush. Okay, and you knew it was in the bush. There was no denying it's in that bush, And so we're trying to convince the guy there's a spirit to the rule here, and just take a drive because we were already behind. The morning loops had taken like almost 6 hours. This hole was already taking whatever forever, and he was aloof, like just completely ignored us until he lectured us about what the official rules are. Goes all the way back, and it took us over a half an hour to play the first hole. And I was caddying with a young guy who, real nice. I had never seen him be anything but fun and great, and just. He lost it right away, Oh my gosh. But that was the day, that was the day where, there was not, if a ball was like a quarter inch over the hole on a putt, they still would mark it or something, And you'll see the big time it happens is and where you'll see guys get into kind of fights about it is in that whole gimme category, And I know there's some people who are probably going to listen and say, well, there should be no gimmies. Yes, again, the rules that are designated for tournament play amongst professional golfers, you can be a purist, and I get it. I'm not going to criticize that, but they don't always translate well to a full golf course with high handicappers. And trying to get those loops done in less than 6 hours. So there's like a spirit to the rule.
So like the smartest thing I've ever seen someone do is that they agreed as a group that they'd give anything basically inside of like 18 inches, and then they'd all put like a piece of tape around their putter at 18 inches. So I mean, I think that was pretty
There's
smart.
ways that is, because as long as everybody agrees, it's not cheating per se. But you'll every now and then you'll run into that guy who just like he'll have a physical reaction, and you can see he's on a different in a different place than his playing partners, and so he'll start to lecture or get real upset, or let's say even if somebody says, oh, that's good, he'll still go and mark the putt and putt it and whatever, and so it just it makes for a different kind of day. You know what career I have found most people are often?
Accountants.
Accountants, and there's one other one.
Just tell me. I'm not going to guess it.
Yeah, engineers.
All right.
Yeah, so I have found those two professions more than any other are like the rule sticklers, you know. So, hey, that's good. I actually you want them to be when they're accountants and engineers. So I guess you can't be too upset at them if they get to, of course. All right, here's one, and this is probably the type of person that people ask about the most. Not one of the two people that people ask about the most, but this song by Rockmaster Scott and the Dynamic Three. I had actually looked that up because I know the song, but I actually couldn't remember who sang it. But the roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. That's the roof is on fire, and we are gonna give that song an inspiration to Mr. Temperamental or Mr. Angry, Mr. Mad all the time, Mr. Blow Up, whatever you want to call him, but Mr. Temperamental, the person who throws the clubs. You told a story on one of our earlier podcasts about somebody tossing a club. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. Yeah. What percentage, Nick, would you say of your players would you put in the hothead, overly temperamental category?
Yeah, I would say it's 10% probably. I mean, I don't think it's too many people. Everyone's
Yeah, I
usually
can do
pretty
that.
chill.
It's not a lot, but it is interesting how it magnifies though. If it, when you're on one of those, it feels like it can't end soon enough. And it may not have anything to do with the caddy, as some people are just like that, you know.
I remember when I was a new caddy, I had the hardest time dealing with hotheads because I was like, how do you approach them when they're hot? Are you like, all right, let's go on to the next one, or let's put that in the past. I think the best thing I've done is just like let them stew in their anger and then don't say anything and then,
I think
talk to them when
that's
they're ready.
really all you can do. I haven't found that any, so I've seen a t-shirt or a bumper sticker, no one has ever calmed down by being told to calm down. And so he's telling them to settle down and whatever. I have one person who tossed a club, and it was a little, it was just an overreaction to missing a shot. And but tossed a club and stormed off to the next hole. And I did tell one of the other players, like, that happens again and we're gonna have to do something, and then I kind of didn't really interact with that player a whole lot the rest of the round. We were on the back nine or whatever. Gave information and stuff, but the chit-chatting kind of stopped. And at the end though, he had calmed down, and I do remember vividly. I don't remember what everybody tips and but the reason why this stands out to me is I know he tipped the most out of the four people in the group. So it's kind of fun, it's like some people are just going to have those moments, and they either can get over them, or to them it's maybe not as big as it is to us observing it. To them, throwing a club might not feel like a big deal, but when you're kind of either the person they're throwing it at or just the person who's working for them, it feels magnified. But I'd say about 10% of the guests. What's always a little bit disconcerting is when the other people in the group come up and warn you before a loop.
I've had that. Yeah, that can be tough.
I mean, because if they're playing part, if the people who play with him and know him don't like him or think he's going to, how is it going to go for somebody who, and so, and I have found that it's hard to caddy for them. I lose a little of my confidence because you want to avoid the reps. It's much easier when I am caddying for someone who doesn't care. Ironically, I find that my reads on the greens are almost perfect. And when I'm caddying for someone who I'm afraid is going to blow up, you might make a mistake or two because you get too conservative.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, you start second guessing yourself too, and it's tough. It's not easy.
Yeah, when the guy looks at you, really?
Yeah.
It's natural to second guess yourself. I mean, you get better at that as you get more experience, but we're human. You don't want people yelling at you all the time, and and so you try to avoid it the best you can.
Hey, fellow golfers, this is Robbie from Best Ball. One of the most popular names in the golf accessory market today is Western Birch. Stop reaching in your pocket for boring plastic or plain white golf tees and elevate your game with premium wooden golf tees from Western Birch. You can customize both the hardwood and bamboo tees with one of their signature stripe patterns in a wide variety of colors. These tees are stylish enough to stand apart from the crowd, traditional enough to align with golf's heritage, and durable enough to make you forget about using anything else. Enter the code BESTBALL in the promo field in your shipping cart to add a free gift to your order. So visit westernbirch.com and get your own premium wood golf tees in the style that suits your game.
All right, kind of in line with Mr. Temperamental, but a little bit different, is Mr. Blame Game. And the song, and this is probably not as familiar a song to a lot of our listeners. I hope some of these songs are at least familiar, but this one, the song that came to mind is "I Hate Everything About You" by Three Days Grace. You remember that song?
Yeah. I know that song. Yeah, it's on one of my gym playlists. So yeah.
And I hate everything about you. And, you know, there's some people who just blame, and it's not just blaming the caddy. I mean, they'll blame all the thing.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
An airplane flew overhead, or
yeah, the car girl opened a bottle as I was swinging. Like, I've heard that one before. It's like, okay.
You know, what have you, what's the most egregious kind of form of that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, the one where the guy with the marshal, I think I told this story like maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, where the guy just, like, the marshal kept creeping up and he couldn't get it out of his head. And he's like, I can't hear you.
Well, it's like that built-in excuse. I think some people kind of like it, you know? But yeah, I've said many a times, and I'll say it many more times on this podcast, caddies make mistakes. You're not always. And one of the challenges that's a little different than, like, say, if you were caddying for someone on the pro tour, is if I go and tell Rory McIlroy, hit your 142 club, he actually knows what that is, and it's going to be 142, if not, you know, a yard or two up. Our players don't always have that. So I remember one guy in particular, and a group of young guys, like college buddies or a bachelor party, something like that. And most of the group was cool, but I had this guy, and this was a four-caddy loop on a different course than we normally are on. And so four guys, and it's going really well and whatever, but this one in particular guy just was all over me the whole round. And I remember a par three, and the other three players had gotten it on the green, okay?
Yep.
So whatever number we told them, whatever the conditions were,
three guys pretty decent, yeah, it had to be decent.
On this particular hole, there's a bunker right in front and some railroad ties and whatever, right in front of the green. And this guy hit it into that. And just turns to me and throws the darns up. And it took everything in my power.
Yeah.
So I was like, your buddy just hit it out of the green.
Right, but yeah.
This club, you didn't go as far as you think it would go, whatever.
Right, so yeah, you probably hit a little fat.
And every missed putt, everything. Finally, we're on the 16th hole, which on that course has some really big benders of putts, you know, like huge, 8, 10, 12 feet maybe, whatever. And he blows it past and does the typical, you know, whatever. And that finally, I didn't yell, but I said, "You hit it too hard." And I was just like, you hit it too hard for it to break that much, you know? And his partner, his buddies kind of looked at me like, okay, he was finally he went too far or whatever, because they mm-hmm. knew that the guy was being kind of a pain in the round, and
yeah,
and so it's hard, and so then and then again, yeah, you have those moments on occasion and stuff, mm-hmm. but the reason why he stands out was I honestly think that he thought he had the game that was good enough to like shoot a 50 or something, because it was a reaction after every shot. So he didn't think he should do anything but like a hole in one or whatever. Yeah. And he was just blaming. And mm-hmm. it wasn't, you know, a whole lot of fun. You don't get those people too often other than on the greens. Would you say that's the number one area for it?
Yeah, sometimes. Like you said, too, the wind. We caddy at a very windy golf course, maybe one of the windier golf courses in the country. So I always like when they'll all consult with each other after they, you know, we'll say the number, like 145, and then one guy will hit, and he'll be like, do you think that's a good number? Like, they all, like, talk about it and stuff, and I'm like, I'm yeah. positive it's playing 145.
Yeah, well, it's always yeah. funny when a guy, like, skulls it. And be like, oh, I wasn't playing 145. And
It sits a low burner past the hole. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
The players are great. It's so much fun. But, you know, you do this enough, you're just going to have some of these experiences. And it's funny because I'm going to talk at another thing that I'm speaking at later today, actually, about the camaraderie amongst caddies, because
mm-hmm.
like we could go out throughout this list and this caricature, and not only could we have like 5 hours of stories outside of the caddy shack without people taking a breath,
yep,
people could finish those, like you could play a game of telephone where mm-hmm. people could, you know, start the story and it go around in a circle, and the story would end up being pretty accurate actually, because
yep.
it just kind of happened. Oh, excuse me there. My computer shifted a little bit. It happens over and over and over again. You can finish each other's sentences. So,
it's probably one of my favorite parts of the job is going back to the shack and hearing everybody complaining about certain things. Yeah. It's just always funny to listen to.
And it's not just it's complaining for sure, you know, like, oh, I could be, but it's also, you know, we also had those where it's like, we know what somebody means when they say, oh, that guy was a stick. Or, mm-hmm. you know, like, we have a picture in our head that is clear mm-hmm. and definitive on that. And so I enjoy that so much. A few more here, Nick. Here's a song that marks my childhood for sure. And you certainly know it as well. But the Beastie Boys, You Gotta Fight
For Your Right. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to resist singing, though. There's a little part of me that wants
to. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, right? Oh, man. But I hear that song and I'm immediately transported back to sixth grade. License to Ill for Beastie Boys and Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet came out that year. And it's like, I hear a song from either of those albums, and there I am again skating around Skateland with, I won't say her name. But anyway, immediately. Yeah.
So, that's funny.
You got to fight for your right to party for Mr. One Too Many.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that was my ringtone back in my early 20s. So, yeah, I know that song pretty well.
And I'm pretty sure on the golf course you've been Mr. One Too Many before.
I may have been a couple times, it's happened.
Yeah, you know, there's always, especially when you have like a college buddies trip.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is when you have like a corporate outing,
and
a company is paying for the whole event, and the drink cart is open bar. So these people are just coming and hammering it.
Yeah, it's like their boss probably paid for the trip. You know, they worked hard all year. This is their reward, and they're just going to hit the drink cart as hard as they can. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that's always an interesting move. I find what hole – let's see if we have the same one in mind. When people are really going at it, what mm-hmm. hole do you think that they tire out at, where the vibe changes, where it goes from fun and all that to they get real, maybe a little tired, start getting a little
Yeah.
ornery, they start thinking they gotta shut her down?
I always get like right around 14. I don't know if that's how you feel. Yeah. Okay.
That's what I was gonna say. This whole 14, it just like the whole vibe changes all of a sudden. And so then guys have to make a decision. Are we gonna finish strong? Or and that's actually the one time where you almost want them to have another drink, because if they don't, they start kind of coming down a little too much, and the rest of the it's a little bit long and meh. So
You don't want them feeling like hungover when they're gonna tip you, right? Like you want them
Right,
to
he's
feel
crumbling,
good.
whatever, and stuff. So, although I've had it where like they're so drunk they just wander off after too. So that you don't want that either. But yeah, Mr. One Too Many. I would say the vast majority of our golfers are trying to remember the experience so it doesn't get out of hand that way. But
Absolutely. Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah. We
occasion.
don't we don't caddy at like a municipal course. We
Yeah.
people are saving up for a while to play in our course, so they want to remember it most of the time.
Yeah. Another kind of drinking song, but I just had to throw this in there for Jimmy Buffett inspired, because we also caddy from time to time for just Mr. Laid Back guy. The guy who just doesn't seem to care, doesn't get worked up about anything. They don't seem to shoot really well too, so there's obviously something to it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's usually really well or really bad, but they're gonna have fun either way, so it's usually like a really fun
Not
loop.
at it where like you'll walk with a guy and he's just kind of like, eh, I'm not even gonna keep score. I hardly get to play, and it's usually been when we've been like one on one or whatever, and he'll shoot like a 78, 80, and it's fascinating, but just super chill. And
It's like Chevy Chase's character in Caddyshack, right? Like that guy.
The reason why it sticks out to me though is because the vast majority of people we meet are just hardcore type A. And so it almost feels like a vacation day when you get that person who's just super chill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then in line with that, I have one more song here. And I mean, what else could it be for Mr. Perfect, Mr. Wonderful, the person who's just a dream to caddy for? And that's because they, are chill, they're good, they're fun to talk to, all those things. But they need Stevie Wonder's "I Just Called to Say I Love You."
That's a good one. Yeah, I like that
Yeah,
one.
we gotta be thankful for those people, man.
Yeah,
It's
absolutely. Absolutely.
yeah, we love them. And I mean, I like most of the players, or nearly all of them, but there's certainly ones that stick with you a little bit more for whatever reason. And because I'll remember specific people for years. And I know some caddies don't. They're like, as soon as that loop's done, whatever. But there's some really great people you get to meet, some really fascinating people, some really easy people to caddy for, fun people and all that. And I
I
mean, I
was
want people to
I
know I love.
was I always joke I only usually remember like the really good ones and the really bad ones. If you're in between there, I'm probably not gonna remember you. I'm sorry.
I remember the better players. I think like a really good player, I really remember for a long time. Hackers, maybe not so much. I remember people though who probably fit that category of like laid back, chill guy. And
I was gonna say that's probably your favorite loop, I would assume.
I mean, I think I like the person who just I click the best with the person who knows golf is fun, who is not going to like define their life by how they score, but certainly tries and all that. But those days are just dreams. And they happen quite a bit, and then you get your Mr. Blame guy and you get your hothead and all those mixed in there as well. Every day is different, as we
It
often
is.
say. Finally, one bonus on here, Nick. Uh-oh. And this is for your speed.
Okay.
Lil Wayne, Money on My Mind. Of course, we have homage to Mr. Big Tipper.
Yeah. I was thinking Make It Rain maybe for still Lil Wayne, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My knowledge of Lil Wayne's repertoire was pretty limited, you know.
I figured, so, yeah. I figured that.
Yeah, listen to me. I'm talking like I'm a grandpa or something like that. I certainly have a, yeah, yeah. No, you know, it is kind of funny that we get to meet some people who are just in a different stratosphere than we are or ever will be. And there's not a whole lot more to say. We don't want to be crass about it, but it fascinates me what some people are able to do. You actually get a skewed view a little bit because we're dealing with some of the one percenters, and it makes you think that, you know, this is how everybody lives. No, it's not. And and so we're certainly blessed to be able to have some people who have been blessed greatly in their lives and have the means and are very generous with it. You know, they're, you know, cause there's some people there, they could tip you $100. They could tip you $1,000 and, it wouldn't make any difference to them in their bottom line, you know? Yep. So it's just, are they generous? And, you know, so you run across those people, and it's super cool. And not only that, one of the things I'll say about it beyond tipping is I have really had my entrepreneurial side kind of stoked. I've had my, you know, I've wanted to learn from these people and try to maybe glean some stuff that'll be helpful to me in my own life, because their stories are fascinating. I mean, what did they have to do to get to where they are, you know? And it's no joke, you know. We maybe see some, you know, second, third generation wealth out there, but we see a lot of self-made people, and it's pretty cool. They're inspiring. So Bad Caddy,
all right.
You know, you've got a playlist, you know, so a group has got their radio going, blaring. That creates a whole nother debate for golf Twitter.
It does.
They ask you, is it okay if we have music on the course? And what do you want to listen to? What's your answer?
Is it good chat? I say, you know, let's play some music. That's fine. But also let's be respectful of the groups that are around us. You know, if we're near a group, maybe let's turn it down a little bit and let's watch what we're playing. But yeah, I'm definitely all for music on the golf course. Absolutely.
Yeah. I like a more neutral kind of music out on the golf course, something that tries to appeal to as many as possible. You and I were together at a course where we had caddies. It's the only time in my life I've had a caddy. And I might have sent off a little too many vibes that I was kind of laid back, whatever, because the second day we were with him, early morning loop, and I think he was medicated, but the gangsta rap that was flowing for like a 7:30 a.m. loop was just a little bit much. And did the other caddies kind of come and tell him to chill that out, or did we tell him?
I don't remember saying anything. I was having a good time, so I didn't really I probably didn't really care much, but
And I think maybe one of the other player or one of the other caddies told him to find something a little less
that could be
so but it didn't fit on a world-class golf course that we let groups have the fun they want to have, but always remember that they're being respectful to others. So great. Well, you know, if you guys out there in golf world have any other suggestions of songs, go ahead and post them on my Twitter account at Caddy Tales, or you can search Mark the Caddy. Please feel free to follow. And until then, though, this is Mark and Nick reminding you that just like in golf, there is always another shot this side of the ground. So even if you're going through some stuff right now, no matter what you're going through, there's opportunity and hope that abounds. So take that shot.